Welcome to episode number 274 of the Keep Up Podcast,
where we all night long, baby.
Okay.
I like that one.
You gonna be chewing on that for a while?
It's still kind of.
Good. While Tim's drinking, welcome to the Keep Up Podcast, where I'm Brett and Tim is Tim.
That's me.
And we talk about all the things that we consume, be it media or food, and we tell you in our humble opinion whether or not you should keep the things on your list.
You should keep up with them or leave them be. Brett, I got the short one this week.
It's the same one. I give you the same one every week.
There's no way. This
it's
is
fine.
The same one. It's the short one.
Maybe your posture's just gotten better over the last week.
Or worse.
No, worse, it would make it closer to your mouth.
Close to you.
What's that?
That's Carpenters.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Sing the rest of it.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, ba, da, da, da.
Don't you remember you told me you love me, baby?
Is that the Carpenters?
I forget. I think so, maybe. No, it's
I don't read books.
It's in Tommy Boy.
Oh.
What happened since we last saw each other, Tim?
My birth. I was born 29 times over.
Yes. This
Me
past
birth.
Week.
Birthday.
Tim was born for the 29th time.
29th time around your mum.
It was gross. we ate a lot of fish.
Oh, dude.
Tim's like, let's go to this sushi bar, all you can eat sushi, sushi place.
Yes. I decided that for
us. He did decide that, and it was so good.
It was really
good. I'm
going
to be honest with you, Timothy.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, and maybe we can talk about it in food.
Maybe.
But it was a little jarring when we went in there.
Yes, it was a bit of a ruckus.
Well, yeah, we were unsure of what was going on.
Yeah, because you just walk in, and I kept saying buffet all week. Mm-hmm. I was telling the kids, we're going to a buffet for Uncle Tim's birthday.
Right, which is a great thing for a birthday.
But when you walk into the place, there is no birthday buffet.
There was no birthday buffet.
It's just places to sit and people.
And people.
No buffet from which to take food endlessly.
Right.
And then I realized it's not a buffet. It's all you can eat.
Which is a big difference.
Those are different things.
Now, there is such a thing as an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Of course.
Which are most buffets.
Most buffets, yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to a buffet that's not all-you-can-eat.
What if they had a buffet? How much would you spend per plate if they had a buffet, but you have to pay each time you go up?
Well, so that's kind of like a sushi, like the rotating sushi bar.
That's true, that we had in L.A.
Uh-huh. But yeah. Those were like it was like $2 a plate or something.
Was it?
I think so. Unless you got like more expensive or whatever.
Yeah.
But if I, okay.
That
if
was
I,
good.
I probably, if I had to pay per plate, I probably wouldn't eat nearly as much as I do when I go to a buffet.
Well, how many do you usually do anyways?
I push for four.
Really?
Yeah. I do like two very solid ones.
I just bit my lip. Why are my...
Dude.
My mouth is shaped wrong.
Why are you biting your appendages?
I have a sore on my tongue from biting it, so I'm going to be talking weird.
I'm going to be talking.
And then I just bit my lip. I think you were talking. How did I bite my lip while you were talking?
You know, it's like, you know how like ladies seduce people? You were biting. You weren't trying to seduce me, but you were seducing the crowd.
Okay, what?
The people. And you're like...
Oh no! It was a painful lip bite. It wasn't like a
He's doing it.
What do you call it? I don't know. Do you know that I have a ton of scar tissue in this lip?
No.
From smashing my face on the cement when I was a kid?
No.
Come on.
I no.
When I was skateboarding and my dad took a picture.
I remember you talking about you want to see that picture.
Yeah.
And but I didn't know you had scar tissue.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, dude. My lip exploded.
Oh, my God.
This right here was like all ripped open. And if you like squeezed it, don't. Mm-hmm. But
I'm
if
not
you
gonna.
Did, I know you are going to try to do it and don't do it. You can feel like all this whole thing is like thick scar tissue.
Oh.
So I actually bite that part of my lip a lot. But this particular time was an accident.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to make that clear.
Right. You weren't doing it intentionally.
And what happened was I was skateboarding downhill. Mm-hmm. The board slipped out from under me. I went like this, smashed my face, lip exploded. My dad was like, let's go inside. We got to get you fixed up. Mm-hmm. Sat me down in a chair. He's like, hang out right here. I'll be right back. And then he came back and he was like, all right, don't move. And then he took a picture.
How cool is that?
It's so cool. I want the
picture.
It's
something you appreciate now. Maybe totally. At the time.
Yeah. At the time, I was like, what are you doing? I was literally like, there was so much blood. I was like, and he was like, and then he's like, all right, now here's like a towel or whatever. But I got to find that picture.
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere.
Anyways.
Buffet.
Buffet.
All you can eat. And you asked me about the plates.
Yeah.
And I would, so.
You do four plates.
Yeah. My general attack is like, you know, you do the testing round.
Right.
You grab like, okay, you got to see what's good. You got to see what's like worth eating, because sometimes you don't go to the same all you can eat or the buffet place.
That's true. When you do your first plate,
yeah,
are you testing things you know you like as a like generally speaking, like I like crab rangoon, so yeah, I'm gonna get those. Mm-hmm. Or are you testing stuff you're like, I wonder if I like this?
Nope, I usually go for things I like first.
Yep,
because that will determine my like near end plate or the plate before the last plate. Because like I love to test out, you know, the chicken, the fries, all the you know Tim staples.
Yeah.
But now that I have gone more into the sushi side of things,
yeah,
now a sushi plate has entered my fray of buffet eating. Because before I didn't touch sushi.
No, like sushi
years and years ago.
That freed up a whole plate for you.
Yeah.
That's an extra plate of chicken fingers or something.
Right. And now it's dedicated to sushi.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I usually do the testing plate.
It's an upgrade.
And then sometimes you do a second testing plate. To make like if there's a lot of options.
Right.
Then the third plate is like everything you liked.
Yeah.
And then sushi plate somewhere in there.
Interesting.
And then if I'm really like if I can keep going, the dessert plate, which is always a disappointment.
Yeah, it's never like
it's never worth
this was such a perfect ending. Mm-hmm. It's always like I should have just stopped.
Yep.
Or gotten like four more dumplings and called it.
Yeah, because you're miserably full.
Yeah.
And the desserts are never satisfying.
It's just not worth
it. So you just put more in your gullet.
Yeah.
So where we went was an all-you-can-eat place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I actually really like how they did it, because you didn't just have to read off the menu and be like, I want this, 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 and this.
Yes, I agree.
You, they give you a piece
Very
of paper,
smart.
And you just write the numbers of whatever you want on
yeah,
there.
It's a crazy list of foods, mm-hmm. two-sided on a sheet, and it tells you, you know, what the item is, how many come with an order, and you just put the number next to it for how many you want. And that is literally like you said, not having to read it off the menu and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was so much better. You just hand them a plate.
Yeah.
They bring you ridiculous
And how the food came
food.
Out.
Yeah.
They would do it like, you know, you would get it on a small plate and you get like two of whatever. But some things were like full meals by themselves.
I know.
The chicken katsu I got was just like a big.
That was a lot.
It was so much.
How many orders was that?
That was one.
One order.
Yeah, because I got it. Daniel didn't get it because we were sharing our side.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then we got it again. We got two chicken katsus, mm-hmm. and the plate was like overflowing.
Yeah, it was a lot.
But yeah, the food itself was really good.
Great.
It was $35 per plate.
Totally worth it.
I think so, especially because I ended up eating like, what did we do, 24 sushis at least?
Yeah, because I had three full rolls, and they were each eight.
They were like six to eight. I think... Some of them were six and some of them were eight.
I don't know, Tim. I'm not here to argue with
you. I'm not either. But yeah, I ate my fill and it was a fantastic birthday.
It was great, dude.
It was so good.
I mean, I'm glad it was great for you.
Yeah.
It felt, as an outsider,
yeah,
it looked great.
Mm-hmm.
If you say it was great,
yeah,
then I think all around it's fair to say it was great.
Yes.
What was your favorite pair of Crocs that you got?
I got to say, my Sonic Crocs that I got myself were pretty great.
Those are pretty
good. No, they're over there. I can get up. I'm going to get up.
Are you going to?
I'm going to get up.
I'm probably closer, but I'm like in the spot I want to be
I'm
in.
I'm walking behind the camera.
Woo! Unbelievable.
This is
he video. Left. He left. So I'll describe them.
Yes.
For listeners. Tim received from an unknown gift giver, McDonald's Crocs. And man, are they excellent. I mean, they're
so crockin' good.
They're so McCroc.
Yo.
They have fries painted on like the heel, like inside. And then they have what are they called? The little pins that go on Crocs.
I want to say like pop socket locket.
Pop socket lockets?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have pop socket lockets. And there's literally two fries.
Yep.
A Big Mac,
mm-hmm.
an M.
Yes.
That stands for McCrocs.
Yep.
A drink. And
you already
then,
said a drink, but it's cool.
And then nuggies. And also a drink.
And also a drink.
And there's a drink on there, too.
And they're red and white.
And yellow, idiot.
Yeah, they got the yellow.
I'm taking these back. You don't even know colors.
I haven't even worn them yet.
That's
the thing. This is how I feel about my Sonic Crocs, too. They're so cool that I don't want to wear them.
You gotta wear them, dude.
I know. That's what I gotta do. But yeah, Brett got me these lovely Crocs. He also got me two Sonic Hypeland shirts. And one of them was great. One of them is Sonic on the back. It says, "I'm waiting." It's a beautiful shirt. It's a
very cool shirt.
And the other one, well, it's a statement. I'll tell you, if I ever walk into anywhere wearing that, people will know I'm hot.
Yeah.
I'm good stuff.
Yeah.
I almost wore it today, but I didn't.
It's a great shirt.
Yeah. I'll wear it. Maybe I'll wear it next podcast, but it's Rouge the Bat.
Mm-hmm.
The shirt is like a nice bright pink.
So bright.
So bright.
So pink.
And it says Hypeland across the top. And what else? It's just like it's got hearts and like...
Yeah, it's got hearts all behind her. If you're unfamiliar with her, she appears in Sonic Adventure 2 for the first time.
Yep.
And she's just like a sexy bat character. And it's just her huge on the front with all these hearts behind her. But the funny thing is Hypeland, which is the brand, if you're unfamiliar, is written right across the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody without fail, Tim included, has thought... upon initially seeing it, that it says husband. And it's very, very funny.
It's so good.
I knew he would wear it for a stream. So, and I know you're Team Amy when it comes to crushes on Sonic characters.
Right, but, as everyone has.
But there was not an appropriate Amy shirt. Mm-hmm. Not that there were inappropriate ones.
But Rouge...
just wasn't one. There wasn't a good one that I could find.
Rouge is a good second, though. And, you know, the shirt is great.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Everything I got was great. It was a good birthday.
Well, I'm glad you had a good birthday.
Yeah.
You are still in your 20th decade.
Yes, this will be the last of my 20th decades.
Wait.
20th decades would make me 200.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know.
But then I was going to say it's your second decade, but it's your third decade. You're in your third decade.
Not yet.
No, you are.
Oh.
See, that's what my brain just
did. Right, a decade. If a decade is a series of 10 years.
Which it is. That is a fact. You don't have to say if.
Did I say if?
You said, if a decade is a series of 10 years.
Oh, I thought
I know you're just working it out loud, but it just sounded like you were saying, let's assume a decade is 10 years.
Maybe a decade's like 10 years.
For the sake of argument, give
let's
or take.
Say.
But isn't that weird? That's what's always messed with me. We've had this conversation before about like the 21st century.
Which still logically is
drives me nuts.
The worst naming convention of anything ever.
But like you are in your third decade.
Yeah. That's weird. So when I'm 30... I'll be in my
fourth decade.
So if you live to 90, you say you're in your...
It's my 100th decade.
Nope.
Huh? Oh, if I live until 90?
Yeah.
That's my... What did I say?
100th decade.
I can't get this right, but it's 10th. Tough. 10th. Damn it. Whatever. I'm living to the year 2100.
2100.
I told you, that's the goal.
But you were born in 1987?
Correct.
So, yeah. You got a lot of extra years on you.
Yeah, I'm going to be 113, right?
That
math is correct, yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah, that's the goal. I can go out that year.
Yeah.
But if I'm still alive and healthy, is there a year you just call it and be like...
You're sick of like...
Kill me in a cool way or something? Launch me into space.
It depends on what your body is at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen some like 90-year-old people who still like got it, who still with it.
That's the goal, dude.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the best.
You got to live life to the fullest.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You can't just go out, you know?
Also, speaking of living life to the fullest.
Tell me.
How has your month of challenges that everyone in the family has been doing? Did you guys stick with it? Did you... Like Jazz.
Oh, our health challenges.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been going pretty well. So I got I re-upped my gym membership.
Yeah.
And this time I got the black card.
Whoa.
Which at Planet Fitness means you can bring a guest.
Whoa.
And what I've learned
is
although they say no one 13 and under can come, if you show up, they don't check the ID of your kids. So you can bring whoever you want.
Oh.
And I even called.
Yeah.
I called Planet Fitness and I was like, hey, man, because Jazz has been dying to go to the gym because his challenge is he wants to be able to do pull-ups.
Yeah.
And before the challenge, he couldn't do any. End of the month, he wants to be able to do 15 really good form push-ups and then at least one, but hopefully more like solid full pull-ups up and down. So he's been dying to go to the gym. So I called Planet Fitness and I was like, hey, I'm just wondering, like, I have my son with me. I want to come to the gym. Like, can he come with me? He's not 13 yet, but... You know, could you make an exception? And it was this kid. He was like, so you can't just like leave your kid while you work out, which is not at all what I was asking.
No.
He was like, but we don't check IDs or anything, so just like come, and nobody will say anything. And I was like, all right, thanks, Planet Fitness employee. So then I went in.
Yeah.
And Sim's like, I kind of want to go too. And I was like, well, maybe they have a way I can like pay a little extra and bring you in with me or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we get there and I'm like, hey, dude, so I have him with me, but my daughter's here too. Is there a way I can like pay? Because I thought you could like pay $5 for a guest or whatever. And he was like, oh, it's fine. And I was like, okay, you sure? He was like, yeah, go ahead. I was like, okay, cool.
Cool.
So now I just show up with both of them. Sometimes they don't even check in. We just go to work out. So it's been a lot of going to the gym.
Yep.
I've been like up and down with like, I have lost, I have lost like 10 pounds.
Nice.
Which isn't nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, but it's also hard because you, you know, had the surgery and you were like working, not working back and forth.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not working as much. And so it is nice when I'm working because I like, I'm so active at work. Mm-hmm. So I'm only on a few days a week right now because my hand is still trash.
Yeah.
But I found out about the surgery next week. So we've been doing pretty well.
Good.
But next Monday is like the last day of the challenge. Mm-hmm. So.
And then when are you going to Sonic?
Dude, if I hit my goal,
yeah,
which is going to be tough, actually, it's going to be close, then probably the following weekend. Are you going to come? Yeah. I might not hit it, though, and then I gotta add on, I will have to set another goal.
That's not a bad thing. Setting goals are good.
I know, it just means, you
know. If I go to Sonic, I'll set a goal with you.
What's your goal going to be?
Dance.
What?
Dance.
To dance?
To dance.
The goal is to dance?
To learn the cha-cha mamba.
Is there a massive cut on my lip right here?
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can see that. Sorry. I'm not flipping you off.
I mean, it's not bleeding actively, but...
No, it hurts. It,
looks like you tried to put your lip ring on, and you missed your hole and just...
I think it just cracked open.
Yeah.
From
You got chappy stick? It's actually super dry in here because I use electric heat.
Well, dude, why is it so dry? Oh, you just told me, I guess, why.
Well, I just tried to give you the answers.
So, yeah, the challenge is going all right. I'll have a final update next week.
So, if you don't do the challenge, are you still going to go to Sonic?
Or no.
Rachel's going to take the kids. And
we don't get
that.
To go.
Oh, nobody gets to go.
That was my thing.
Gotcha.
If I hit my goal, we go to Sonic.
Yeah.
If the kids each hit theirs, I think it was shopping. There was something they wanted to get.
Yeah.
Rachel was like, I don't know, I just want to do better. And I was like,
lame.
Yeah, I think hers was shopping too, ultimately.
Yeah.
Mine was the only one that was, everyone was like, oh, Sonic?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, dude.
Heck yeah.
But I got to earn it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I'll motivate you then.
Yeah. See, you're just asking because you want to go to Sonic. We have.
Also, be healthy.
What did you say?
I also was curious about where you guys were.
Yeah, dude. We're doing pretty good. Jazz tried to do, we went yesterday to the gym and he tried to do some pull ups and he was close.
Yeah.
Because at the gym, they have the assisted one where there's some weight. So you're not like pulling up your full body weight all by yourself.
Yeah.
And he did pretty well, but he can't quite do a full.
And Sim wanted to do push ups, right?
Yeah. I don't know where she's at with that. She's been sick, so.
Freaking sick.
I know, man. I know.
That's her favorite thing to do.
You know what my favorite thing to do is?
What?
I don't know. Anything I said just felt like it was, I don't know if it would be my favorite. It's like a thing I like to do.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
What do you like to do?
The Keep Up Podcast.
Oh. It's not your favorite thing to do?
Huh?
That's a shame.
It's probably one of.
Am I supposed to get us to our next category?
No, I can do it.
Oh, okay. You just like, you queued it up and then did nothing.
I was trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to say before we went into it.
What else? We just did a live stream. We do our live streams on Twitch.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say. So listen, I mean, it wasn't that specifically, but live streams, YouTube videos, every Monday, the YouTube version of the podcast is going to be up officially. That's the day that they get posted.
Monday.
So for listeners, nothing changes. Every Friday, you're getting the audio.
Yep.
If you're interested in watching, it's going to be Mondays. And then I think probably, maybe not every, but what, like Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you're going to be dropping the other videos on YouTube?
Yes. Yeah. So like Twitch VODs and stuff, the plan is either Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on, you know, if we just what we're uploading, what's going on. But yeah, generally Tuesday, Wednesday.
Cool.
The plan, the hard day It's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
But last week when we did it, there was just like we were posting stuff and it didn't line up properly. But generally Tuesdays we'll do the Twitch VODs. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'll go live on the previous Wednesday. That's the plan.
Yes.
So, and then, as far as those Twitch streams, we're still like juggling the dates, trying to figure out exact times and everything. But they tend to always be on Wednesdays, but not every Wednesday.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. It's been really fun, though. So if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, it is more than just the podcast now. So please go over there and subscribe. That would be fantastic. And we'll have some reaction videos for you. Mm-hmm. And then I think next week we might do another one. Oh, we got another video to film next week.
Yes.
But don't you worry about that. Also, follow us on socials at the Keep Up Podcast. That's TikTok and Instagram and YouTube, which I said. Patreon.com/TheKeepUp for some extra bonuses. Mm-hmm. And now we can go into TV.
Oh, baby.
Television.
But start it, Brett. Start it. Keep it going, Brett. We're not started yet. Brett, did I tell you to start? Brett, oh, you didn't start. Oh, you did start.
I started it.
I heard it, but I didn't know.
We're in it.
So I've been watching some television.
Tim's been watching some Timavision.
I've been watching two shows.
What is it?
I'm trying. Shows are tough for me.
Shows are tough for Tim.
You know? So I'm trying to be dedicated and watch an episode of some show every night.
Wow.
Again, my endless list of new Timisms, new Tim things, TV shows.
I don't know what. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, just sure in general, like new things changing my life. Anyways, a show recently came out on Peacock.
Peacock.
What?
Peacock.
Yeah, that thing, which is a stupid, what do you call them? Service? A subscription service.
Yeah.
For NBC.
I've heard people refer to them as streamers, which I don't really like.
Streamers?
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
Like, what streamer is it on?
No, that's like people saying like Pokemans or something.
It does feel that way.
It's like
you and your Pokemon.
Or, you're playing on your Nintendo and you're playing like an Xbox. Or
yeah,
like,
right.
You're just
right.
giving it a generic, like, I don't care type of name.
Right.
I've never heard that and I never want to hear it again.
Yeah, I heard it on, I'm trying to remember, I think it was a podcast or an interview or something like that because I couldn't follow what they were saying.
Yeah.
Because they were talking about a movie and then they were talking about streaming and they said, like, what streamer or whatever. Or various streamers, and I was like, are they talking about Twitch? Like, I couldn't figure out.
Right, because streamers, that would mean, like, specifically a person, or the things that hang from the ceiling for parties.
Yeah, and I knew they weren't talking about that.
Right.
But, so it's a streaming service, I guess. That's
streaming
how
service.
NBC's, right?
Yeah, and Peacock is one that I don't think seems to be, like, lower on the totem pole.
It is, but it's unfortunately got some pretty good stuff. That's like, not that, I mean, they all have some good stuff, but it's like, I look at it, and I'm like, I don't need this, and then I'm scrolling through, and I'm like, man,
I know, that show seems cool. That show
wish I had this,
It does happen. We actually, you know what's funny, is we pay for Peacock, but we can't get into it.
Why?
Because the email that, for whatever reason, that's connected to it, it, you know how all emails end in .com?
Oh, yeah.
This one ends in .com and then a K after.
So
somewhere along the line.
Not .com.
Yeah, right? So somewhere along the line, the email that was set up with it ends in an email that's not real.
So that's brutal.
Yeah. It's funny. We pay for it from or through the our cable provider.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was something they did because when we bought, like when you get it as part of cable, they make the account on their end, I think. So anyways, we have it at some capacity, but I need to figure it out. And this show's on it. And you might be wondering, Tim, if you don't have Peacock, how'd you watch it? Don't worry about it.
That's what I was wondering.
No, don't worry about it. I figured it out, Brett. I figured out Peacock. I already figured it out.
Okay.
Good. Anyways, this show is Ted.
Ted. Ted the show.
Based off of Seth MacFarlane's movies.
Ted.
Of the same name, Ted.
Ted.
It's weird that the series is just called Ted. Why didn't they call it? Or maybe it's Ted the series? Nope, it's just called Ted.
Just called Ted.
And this follows the story of Mark Wahlberg's character when he is a younger boy in high school. It takes place in 1993.
Wow.
And Ted, of course, if you don't know, is a teddy bear that came to life by magic. But the movie portrays it in a way that's not fun or fantastical. They end up like being heavy stoners and they curse a lot and they fart. And, you know, it's a very crude version of a miracle teddy bear.
Yeah, like imaginary friend type thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So the Ted show again follows them.
I still
haven't
seen them, but
yeah, I recommend them. If you haven't seen them, they're keepers. First one more so than the second. Second's still a good time.
Cool.
This show just takes place back in the day, and I'm having a great time with it.
Yeah?
It is very much the Family Guy formula.
Love that.
To almost too much, because, like, when scenes transitions, it plays, like, you know how a Family Guy has, like, a da-da-da-da-da-da?
Yeah.
It'll do that in between, like, scene transitions. Really? In the show. Sometimes cutaways, like, maybe one or two, but I've never seen such a distinct, like, I don't know, writing/directing style that Seth MacFarlane has that is implemented in another show.
Yeah.
Because I know he's done other shows too. Mm-hmm. American Dad, which very much has a similar template
that
Family Guy does very and much. Cleveland Show and a lot of the other things he's worked on. So maybe that's just how he like formats his shows.
Yeah.
But yeah, the show itself is very, the humor is all over the place.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like good and bad, but they're just throwing every joke at the wall that they can.
Well, that also sounds like Family Guy to me.
Yeah, where it's just like bam, bam, bam. But again, it has some like heartwarming moments. Mm-hmm. It's got some characters that are like really extreme versions of whatever character type they're trying to be.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's very mature.
Yeah.
You know, I am, I don't know why I'm surprised that it's like, it's TVMA, but this is something I would see on like HBO or a Netflix original, more mature. But Peacock must just have a lot of mature stuff on that. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know why either, but I am also still surprised sometimes. Like I started Carnival Row.
Yeah.
On Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but I was surprised at like how R-rated it is.
Yeah.
And like there are a couple scenes where I was like, whoa, I didn't know they could show that on mm-hmm. this. And it's like, yeah, any of the streaming platforms pretty much.
They just have free range.
Yeah.
To post or not post, but to have any type of show. You
yeah,
know?
Really anything. So that it's just funny that you say that because I had that same thought. I was like, why am I surprised at this?
Yeah.
Like,
Because like when you think about like adult shows, those are usually on like paid channels. Like,
right.
You would watch them on HBO right. or Showtime or whatever.
And when we were growing up, it was more separated. You couldn't just put TV on at any point. It was like the equivalent to turning on the radio. You couldn't just turn on the radio and hear like explicit music.
Yeah.
You still can't do that. You know what I mean?
Right. It's still.
But because everyone's just watching like streaming services now. You forget that there's like not really any restrictions unless you have it set that way.
Right, exactly. Because kids can, I mean, again, if you don't have the child locks or anything, they could watch anything, any type of show.
Right, right. So where do you put it with the first and second movie so far? Like,
I think I like the first movie better or mm-hmm. best, but this is better than the second one for sure.
Cool.
Second movie. Yeah, Ted's a lot of fun. Seth MacFarlane voices the voice of Ted. Voices Ted. And yeah, he's like, you know, it's just Peter Griffin, really.
Yeah, right.
He's just, again, cracking jokes, farting, they're getting high. Like, it's just.
It is funny the mileage he's gotten out of just being Seth MacFarlane.
Yes.
Like, I remember the first time, I guess I don't remember specifically, but I remember seeing Seth MacFarlane speaking mm-hmm. and being like, oh, you're just every character.
Yeah.
Like, that's just your voice.
And that's what he does. He voices, like, again, on Family Guy, he does Quagmire, Stewie, Brian, and Peter. Like,
yeah.
He does a lot of things.
Yeah.
He's very much into his projects.
And it's just so, like, I don't know, the more you get to know him, like, I remember watching interviews and stuff with him and being like, there's so much of him in those characters. Yep. Like, I don't know, like, because the way he communicates, you're like, oh, that's just, you can see how Peter Griffin was born out of that guy's mind.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just wild how much mileage he's got out of, like, gotten out of his sense of humor. Because mm-hmm. it is, like, an undeniable style, and you know his work when you see it and when you hear it, because it's, like, always him. But I think that's really cool mm-hmm. to see, because I remember watching American Dad and being like, okay, so, like, Roger is Brian, mm-hmm. and the fish is Stewie, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, they kind of mirror each other, but then American Dad somehow is very much its own thing.
Yeah, I, as I grew older, I actually enjoyed American Dad more than Family Guy.
I've heard that almost exclusively from people who like both shows.
Yeah.
Like, I still love Family Guy, it's where mm-hmm. it started, but American Dad became my favorite.
Dad is just so good.
Yeah, it is very good. It's really, really good. I love it. I recently put on an episode of Family Guy because I was just like, I wonder if it holds up for me.
Yep.
Short version, it does.
Oh,
like,
good.
I was like, yeah, I still love
it. Did you watch like a new episode or an older one?
No, it was an older one.
Okay.
It was an older one. Because I was curious about that too. I was like, I'm just going to go back to one I watched when I was younger
and see if it's still funny.
I was like, that's still funny.
It's probably even like funnier now because maybe, again, you might understand things more.
Yeah,
But
yeah, it's
not that you were super young when it was out.
No, Yeah, it is different revisiting it now. I don't think there was anything that went like over my head. But I don't know. Just certain things hit different.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because it was, I was probably perfect age because I was in high school watching it with my friends. So, you know, it was all just like hilarious to us, but it still holds up. And his style of humor, the quick, it's kind of like when we were talking about Beavis and Butthead, it's just so entertaining. It's just, I don't know, that might be like my favorite type of show.
Yeah, just like the that's the fun of like the constant humor, is like it doesn't like drag on me or I'm like, oh, they keep trying jokes again and again. It's really building me up because I get like little laughs out of them.
Yeah.
And then when something that like really makes me laugh, it hits harder because I'm just like, I'm in a funny, goofy mood the whole time.
Yeah.
Because they're just cracking quick jokes. But
cool.
But people could really take it the other way too and be like, you know, it's too many jokes, like be serious. But I don't think you're watching Ted for it to be serious.
No. Yeah. I think there's a distinction between that and like even a like a Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is rapid fire,
oh
like
my God,
you know, machine gun rate jokes.
Yep.
But that show has so much heart, which is not a negative at all, but it's a very different experience than watching a, you know, like Beavis and Butthead or something like that,
right,
where there aren't really any heartwarming moments. You're just there for the jokes and the goofy time. So it sounds like maybe Ted is more leaning that direction.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, there are heartwarming moments, but they're usually like, they usually end in a joke or are not like huge. No, it doesn't feel as impactful. Not like Brooklyn Nine-Nine was.
Yeah, you know? like Brooklyn Nine-Nine would have these like big like statements on relationships and even like social issues and stuff like that. And again, all great. I love that show very, very much. But I'm just thinking of like comedies that I love and kind of what sets them apart from one another. And I can imagine a heartfelt moment in Ted being a maybe shorter, like, quick, let's stop here and make you feel something real quick, and then let's get back to fart jokes.
Right back to the jokes. Yep.
So it's keeper?
Totally a keeper. Wow. I'll end with this. It is interesting watching how the 90s are depicted in this.
Oh.
As it's something, because when I watch a lot of shows that are based in, like, you know, earlier years, a lot of the times it's like, you know, it's not something I experience as regularly.
Sure.
But the 90s are a point now where when you make a like a show based around it, you start seeing a lot more like 90s things, if that makes sense.
Like, sure. So it's like long enough ago now where people are like, when we were growing up, it was like everything took place in the 80s.
Right.
You know, The Sandlot was in the 80s.
Yep.
Was Ferris Bueller in the 80s?
I think so.
It was. Yeah. Oh, yeah. When did that movie come out?
Like 80.
Oh, so that movie came out in the
80s. Yeah, yeah.
But just everything we saw, even if it came out in the 90s, was based in the 80s. And now, even though that time difference is like way further now, which is crazy.
But I think like a lot of movies were not just like based in the, it's, I guess they were in modern day. And for us, modern day is just like, it still feels like modern day, like today, I guess. But yeah, anyways, it was just interesting to see, like, you know, they're having to deal with a VHS player. And
so it takes place in the 90s.
93.
Oh, that's right. You said that.
Yeah.
That's right. Cause so when did Ted come out? When did the movie come out? Do you remember?
2014, I think.
2014. Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, and that was based in modern day.
That actually feels not as long ago. Well, it was 10 years ago.
2012
actually.
Was Ted.
12 years ago.
Yeah. And then Ted 2 was 2015.
How weird is it that 2020 was 4 years ago?
That's a weird sentence to say. I still like that whole era of time is something that I just like, I'll remember, but also it feels like such a blur to me.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange.
Because it was so like impactful in our lives.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, Ted, total keeper.
Total keeper.
And I have one other show to talk about.
Okay.
And it's very fitting that you brought up Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, is it?
Because our friend Rosa in the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She voices one of the characters in the show that I'm about to talk about.
Which is?
Has-Been Hotel.
Has-Been Hotel.
Has-Been Hotel. I'm bringing it up.
Bring it up, dude.
I talked about this many moons ago.
Moons.
This is a cartoon based in hell, in which the it's overflowing. There are too many bad people. And so the angels have to come down and slaughter a bunch of them as like a population control.
Gotcha.
And so the daughter of Satan is trying to create a hotel in which she wants to bring salvation to some of these demons.
Oh, okay.
So they don't have to get all slaughtered and instead could go to heaven.
Yeah.
So again, I talked about the show a while ago. It had a pilot on YouTube. I think I want to say 2019.
Wow, that long ago?
I think. Yeah, it's 2024 now. Let me see.
Yes, it is. Tim is correct about the year.
I'm just saying it feels so long.
Let the record show.
Let the record show.
Tim does know what year it is.
Let's see. Hazbin Hotel. But do you know anything about this, Brett, besides what I've like talked about? Or
You know what I know about it is everything you just said.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just learned that now.
2019. Yep. 2019 was the pilot.
This guy over here.
And yeah, so the director, she really wanted the show to get picked up. It didn't. And so she went and made another show. And the director's name is, hold on, Brett, relax. Vivian Medrano.
Cool.
I think.
I mean,
that
sounds like a name.
And so she ended up doing another show with her crew and stuff called Hell of a Boss. And that one ended up being picked up and popular and stuff like that. But Hazbin Hotel.
I don't know that show.
Yeah, that one I think is YouTube exclusive. So not picked up for like streaming rights. Although I think it did eventually get added to Netflix.
Was that recently. Also animated?
Yes. Oh. Also animated. Also takes place in the same universe.
Oh, cool.
But I believe it's more focused on like angels and stuff. Because I think from what I've read, there are characters that cross over that exist in the Hazbin Hotel. That are from Hell of a Boss and stuff. So I haven't seen it, so I don't know. I don't know who's crossing over to what.
The animation's very Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, I can see that. Like the villains are kind of like big and lanky, kind of like him in a way.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's just like the demon things, but
Or Zim.
I was going to say
bit
Zim.
Zimmy.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because one of the characters is voiced by Zim's voice actor.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
In Hell of a Boss, anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, Hazbin Hotel is one I've been waiting for a long time because it is a hard TVMA R-rated musical. Every episode has at least one or two songs.
That's cool.
And they're very like Disney-like.
Yeah.
Like they're like fantastical and, like all musicals, they just kind of come out of nowhere and all the characters get involved. And
where is this one playing?
Amazon Prime.
Prime. Cool.
So all that to say, A24 picked it up and now that's why it's on Amazon Prime and it's officially getting a full season.
Yeah.
So right now there's 4 episodes available. Mm-hmm. So that's all I've watched. But I think there's going to be either 7 or 8 this season. And then we'll see where it goes from there.
Cool.
But yeah, it's been a delight. The music has been, I think, the highlight for me.
Yeah.
I think most songs have been really catchy, and they help. They're like in musicals when you watch a song or listen to a song played, it's usually like takes you out of the context of what's going on in the story. Sometimes it's related, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's never it like almost. I guess that's not always the case, but
I feel like it should fit the scene you're in.
It does fit the scene, but like I feel like it takes you out because they're like singing and you're like, oh, okay, they're singing now. Like,
you're switching gears a little bit.
Yeah, like musicals generally use it as a way to convey what people are feeling or like
right.
they're getting to where they're going. And this does that as well, but I feel like it also progresses the story or is a way to show character growth.
Oh.
Which I don't know. I can't think of any other musicals, but it probably happens all the time and I just can't think of it. But
yeah, I mean, how do you mean?
Like when
clarify Tim.
That's what I'm trying. I'm forming the thought right now.
Okay.
Like I feel like when a music number happens in this show, it is a way to progress the narrative, and I don't feel like it takes me out. Like I'm listening to a musical number, I feel like I'm just watching the show progress.
I see. Yeah.
Where like in a movie, although, but now that I think about it, most songs do progress the movie in one way or another.
I would say they all do, but I do think I know what you're saying, where like I've definitely seen in musicals it's used, a song is used as a device to like scenes happening, characters A and B are interacting, and then all of a sudden character A goes off on
like
this
a
song
fantasy, yeah.
And it's really about that character and what they're feeling in their moment, in the moment, not necessarily including character B.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it doesn't like progress the plot.
Right. But then there are other examples where it's like character A and B both break into song.
Yeah.
And it just, all it does is continue their conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not an exclusive thing. I guess I just notice it more in this. Where none of the songs feel like they take you out.
The story's never really interrupted.
Right. By musical numbers.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So it just feels very like it's progressing regardless of like the way the conversation's happening or whatever it may be. Is it like funny? Like what's the story?
Yeah,
like?
it's a comedy with some like heavy, again, they're in hell.
Sure.
So there's a lot of references to sinning and like different forms of sin, and characters will just break out and like dropping F-bombs and getting mad at other characters and stuff.
Yeah,
it's totally played as a comedy. There are, again, some like more dramatic moments. And the most recent episode definitely had the most heaviest topic. Again, dealing with hell. So there are some very, very much mature. I wouldn't recommend watching this with your family or anything. This is the type of show you like watch in your phone or laptop, like away from eyes, because it is very adult.
Away from eyes.
Away from eyes.
Watch without eyes.
But yeah, I've really enjoyed it so far. The character growth's good. That's the other thing that I really took away from it is it's not just like every episode is just its own like self-contained story.
Mm.
It is an overarching story that's all like connecting to the hotel and how it grows and
that's
new characters
cool.
get introduced and stuff. It's really, it's formatted well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it stays on the list.
It is also a keeper. Worth getting Amazon Prime for.
Prime has a lot of good stuff.
It's got so many good stuff.
I don't think I've watched anything bad on Prime.
Not any Prime originals, I don't
That's
think.
What I mean. Like,
also, Reacher. Reacher was really good on Prime.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Season 2 just came out.
Jack Ryan was really good.
Yep.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel
is
incredible. The
Invincible.
Boys. Yeah, like, I don't think I've seen one that's bad.
No.
I'm not saying they're not there, but everything I've watched so far has been clutch.
Mm-hmm.
I have a game I need to talk about desperately.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Video games.
I.
Yes, you.
Have an impending surgery upon me.
The time's ticking for Brett's soul.
Some of you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had my left hand cut open end of last year.
Put your left hand in.
Some of you may also know. I will soon have to have my right hand cut open for the same affliction.
Put your right hand in.
Being severe carpal tunnel syndrome.
And they take your carpal tunnel out.
What sucks about that is the recovery just takes so long.
So long.
And
one more time.
The recovery takes so long.
So long.
And your boy can't play video games during
that
recovery.
Is it even worth it, Brett?
So...
Is it even worth it?
As I'm sitting here with my hand completely numb, I can tell you it
it's fine.
It.
I'm good.
So the other day, I got an itch, and I've been hesitant to start streaming again because I had this whole plan for it end of last year and just wasn't able to do it. And I know I'm not going to be able to keep streaming if I start because I'm going to have to get the surgery again soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a few games I was dying to play.
Yes.
So I was looking and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to wrap up a couple of the games that I started before my surgery so that afterwards I can maybe pick up some of the new stuff. I'm dying to play Alan Wake 2. I wanted to play the Dead Space remake. I'm actually, one of the games I'm trying to finish now is Dead Space 3, which I'm probably, I think, 6 hours into or something like that. Really enjoying it. It's super fun. It's not, I'd say 1 and 2 are superior, but 3 is very fun.
It gets the job done.
Yeah, it's just more, you know, monsters in space, which is fun. Resident Evil 7, still trying to wrap that up. But I could not any longer stand looking at the creepy and awesome art on my console.
Of Sonic music.
Man, after that whole buildup.
Yeah, that's the best part.
That was really good.
That's the best part.
Whatever.
Brett, what game?
A game called Sally Face.
La, 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 la.
What do you know about Sally Face?
I know the girl wears a mask.
Hmm.
And she got a knife, I think.
Yeah, so the girl is a boy named Sal.
Great start.
It is, it is kind of intentionally ambiguous.
Yes.
This game caught my eye with a trailer. I think, honestly, I was looking through games that were on sale. I don't even know if I bought this one on sale. It's only $15, which is an absolute crime because this creator deserves, like...
So much.
So much. But it's also, it's incredible that it's only $15. Mm-hmm. Buy this game. I will tell you why. It caught my eye because of the art. It's this like really, really sort of unsettling hand-drawn art that is very, very reminiscent of MTV animated shows.
Okay.
So things like The Max, if you're familiar with it, even that era, like weird stuff like Aeon Flux, and it used to be called Odyssey, but I think it ultimately ended up also being called The Head, where it was just this dude with a giant head. Just this, it has this unsettling sort of look about it, and mm-hmm. like an adult look about it. It's just a little bit creepy, and it does show this character with these blue pigtails and a mask, and it's just very strange. And then you watch the trailer, and it is so weird. It's all hand-drawn. You just see a character walking left to right, these weird, like, occult symbols, you know, murders happening, monsters, and it just is very... And the music's really unsettling, but also really creepy and cool. And I'm like, I gotta buy this. I don't understand what it is. It's gotten tons and tons of praise just as a game in general, like across the board. And I bought it and it's just been sitting there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get into this.
You're going to take it out.
I'm going to take it out. Dude, this game is so, so cool. It plays like the best book you've ever read. Like, okay. I could not put it down. Mm-hmm. And it felt like that kind of thing where like I get to the end of a page and I'm like, I can't stop reading this. There were a couple times I put the game down to go do something, turned off my Xbox and turned my TV off, and I was like, all right, I'm done for a while. Mm-hmm. Finished whatever I was doing and like immediately turned it back on.
Went I'm
like,
right
I,
back
you know
it.
What? I have another 20 minutes. I'm going to go play it.
That's so exciting.
So you play as Sal, who with his father moves to these apartments. And when you get to this apartment, you slowly start meeting the characters in the building, and there are some strange things happening. And it starts off with there was a murder in the hotel. I'm sorry, in the apartments just before you got there. Mm-hmm. So you're going floor to floor. You're meeting people. You're meeting the maintenance woman. You're meeting this cop that's hanging out in the hallway.
Now, are they all drawn in like creepy styles? Like, do they look unsettling, or is it pretty like?
It is
like normal, relatively normal.
Yeah, I'd say they're relatively normal looking characters, mm-hmm. but just the art style itself is a little bit. Oh, why is this? Oh, this is immediately bringing me to the merch site I was on.
Do they have merch for the game?
Dude, there's so much.
Yeah, because this has been out for a while too, right?
Yeah, I think this came out in 2019. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can.
Wow, they even have a pop figure.
Oh yeah, dude.
That's crazy.
Let me see. Sally Face came out.
I'm gonna say 2017.
Oh my gosh, 2016.
Whoa.
This is way older than I thought. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that. So yeah, they're all the illustrations look like this is what the game looks like.
Okay.
So the characters themselves aren't necessarily creepy. Mm-hmm. They are, but everything is hand drawn in the game. And this is the thing. Essentially what happens is it's the story of this group of teenagers that Sal ends up meeting and becoming friends with. Mm-hmm. And they sort of become like almost like paranormal investigators in a way. It's like it becomes like a very dark sort of Scooby-Doo mysteries type vibe, mm-hmm. where these kids are trying to figure things out. Certain authorities aren't listening to them when they say something weird is going on, but it's also all framed around a trial that's going on when the game starts. Mm-hmm. So there's a trial going on, and Sal is actually in trouble for something.
Oh, no.
But he's telling this story. So you're actually playing in the past.
Okay.
And the way the story is told is so good. Like the whole mystery aspect of it and the way you're uncovering things is masterfully done. And a lot of it takes place in these apartments where there's five floors and a basement. And one of the first, mainstay characters that you meet is Larry, who becomes Sal's best friend. And there are so many intricate details, like when you first meet Larry, he asks you if you want to hear this new band, and if you say yes, then like he plays this song on his radio. It's this metal band. It sounds like, it's just this like really aggressive metal band, and There's all these really cool references throughout the whole game too. So like, there's a room at one point that has a poster on it that says Edward's Shovel Hands, mm-hmm. and yeah. there's a there's a corn sticker, but it's literally like a it's an ear of corn, and it's spelled C-O-R-N, but the R is backwards like it is in the corn logo.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of cool, like, there's a character named Ashley Campbell. So like Ash and Bruce Campbell, yep. like a lot of cool horror movie and like music references throughout the whole game. The craziest thing about this game mm-hmm. is the creator, Steve Gabry, did everything. It is a complete one-man show.
Dang.
And I mean everything. Illustrated all of it, mm-hmm. programmed all of it, did the entire soundtrack, which is extensive. Like the band that you listen to with Larry is called Sanity's Fall. Mm-hmm. And throughout the game, the band in the game releases new music.
Jeez.
And those are actual songs that Steve Gabry like wrote and recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the story, the programming, the illustration, the sound, everything just about everything. It is this one guy.
So impressive.
Portable Moose is the developer name mm-hmm. that he works under. I'm pretty sure it's just him. And it's just such an achievement because the game on like it. So it has some puzzle elements, but there are sequences throughout the game. Like it just becomes surprising in the storytelling, like how engaging it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the start, you're just like, okay, cool, design's cool. And, you know, it's a little bit like you're just walking around talking to people. It almost feels like a visual novel in a way.
Okay.
But yeah. with more interactions, you know, I guess more point and click.
Mm-hmm.
But then it really becomes more than that very quickly. It was released in 5 chapters. When you're getting the full game for the $14.99.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that across all consoles and platforms. This is one of the darkest stories on many levels that I think I've played in a long time. So mm-hmm. be warned. It is very, very, there are some moments that are shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Like I out loud was like, no way.
Yeah. I like that.
There are twists and turns in the game that are very, very unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, dude, like near the end, there will be no spoilers for anyone who's new to the podcast. I don't do spoilers. But there's a sequence in the end where the art style completely changes like 4 different times.
Jeez.
So it will all of a sudden look like almost like Cuphead type animation.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's a full claymation sequence.
Jeez.
Like very, very crazy. And it all takes place in this kind of otherworldly dimension type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of sort of like action or like boss fight sequences, but they're relatively simple.
Okay.
It's really about the story and just the visual component of the game. I can't recommend it enough. It's absolutely a keeper.
A super keeper?
Oh, it's a super keeper. Nice. I can't believe it came out in 2016. Like, I'm so late to the game.
Yeah. I still haven't even played it. I've heard of it for years, mm-hmm. but I just never got around to it.
I can't believe you haven't played it because I know you're usually like, you've played everything.
Yeah.
But looking into it, like this game has a massive, massive following.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely has a cult following. It's a cult favorite for sure. Let me see if there's anything else I had in my notes. I think that's about it.
Has the developer, has he done anything else since Sally Face?
Let me check.
Curious if there was like a sequel or if they were working on something else.
There is not a sequel yet, but okay. He's confirmed that there will be.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
because it sounds a lot like Franbo, which is another game that's you know, in a similar vein of this, where it's kind of point and click adventure. You're like walking across the screen and solving puzzles while interacting with people and
yep.
stuff. So and that game was really cool. So
I don't see anything by Portable Moose
mm-hmm.
except for Sally Face.
Okay, and I mean, if it's a one man project, I mean, I imagine it probably would take a long time to
yeah.
do anything else, anyways. So
yeah. Let me see.
But maybe that's all he wanted to do was the one game, and he's like, I'm out. But you said he was doing the second
he
one.
He said
so.
Two's coming, and it does end in a way where, like, the worst part of the game is that it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally... Oh, and the other thing, so there are puzzles throughout, but mm-hmm. I finished the game, and there are probably... I mean, at least four or five very, very, like, strong narratives going on that you're unraveling piece by piece. And every chapter has kind of like different collectibles you can find. So there's one chapter where there's these VHS tapes that you get, and it takes you to this different sequence. You put in a VHS tape and you see this person in some other dimension kind of delivering this monologue.
Okay.
And I think there's 9 tapes. And I think when you get all the tapes, I don't know because there's one that I missed, which is so frustrating. But every chapter, let me finish that thought. I think when you get the tapes, you get a piece to one of the stories. So there's, for instance, to be a little clearer, there's one character whose father is gone and we don't know why. Mm-hmm. We just know that he disappeared one day. There's Sal's backstory to why he moved is not given to you right away. You're unraveling that throughout the whole game. And there are a few things like that where you're like, okay, I know this about this person, but I don't know why this is the case. I don't know where this person's family member is. I don't know the history of this person. So throughout the entire game, you're getting little pieces of that. And I didn't realize how much extra there was outside of just going through the game. Mm-hmm. But I finished it, and there was one thing in particular that I was like, wait, I never learned this backstory. Like, I feel like there's no way that's not in there somewhere. So I looked it up, and there is, I don't even know how you find it, but there's a piece of very important backstory that I somehow missed. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the chapter selection, and I only finished like 60% of every chapter.
Wow. Okay, so you're missing a good chunk.
Yeah, and I thought I was really thorough.
Yep.
But I will say, like, the characters are so likable, and the game is so interesting that I feel like I could immediately play it again.
Yeah, just to see everybody's story.
Totally. And, yeah. So, again, I would give that warning. It is one of the darkest. It takes some of the darkest. I don't know how you always burp. And, like, the moment I pause to think. That's so funny. It takes some of the darkest turns I think I've ever seen in a game. And it's very, very bold. But it absolutely is a horror game. Mm-hmm. But it is so. Outside of those themes, like I feel like I want everyone who cares to play a game to play this game, because it's just, I don't know, it's really beautiful in a lot of ways, but it is intense. Like, I feel like if you're not a horror fan, if you're a little more sensitive, the tail end of the game is going to be a little bit tougher to get through. Mm-hmm. But it is such an unbelievably well done story, and as someone who creates anything, I love when I see a project like this that's one person.
Yeah.
Because I just know what that takes. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he created this. And I watched an interview with him where he's like, I had to really cut down what I wanted to do in the finale, like, to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But what happens in the finale is really incredible. Yeah. So
just imagine whatever else he could have had planned.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't even know. So Sally Face is absolutely a keeper. I can't believe how late I am to the game, no pun intended, but play it if you haven't. And if it sounds like something that you would be into, you should play it as soon as possible.
Yeah, I will.
Play it tonight.
I don't know if I own it, but.
You can for $14.99.
$14.99. It's probably on sale.
Maybe.
I don't know. I might have it on Steam, though. I might have picked it up at one point.
Interesting.
I'll check. I'll see what I got.
You should check. Is that it? Are we done?
Yeah, I think that's it, bro.
Listen, you guys are the coolest. Thanks for hanging out with us. This has been episode number 274. Follow us on the socials. It's at the Keep Up Podcast all over the place. Quick shout out to our patrons. Thank you guys so much for being patrons. If any of you are listening or watching and are not and would like to be, patreon.com/thekeepup. Get a bonus podcast every month. You get two bonus videos that are so far always food related.
Always food related.
Yeah, so they may remain that way. And I think that is it. Mm-hmm. Tim, tell everybody where they can find you and your stuff.
You guys can find me at Collection Revolution on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitch, also Twitter, YouTube. You know, just type in my name, Collection Tim Butt, and you'll find something. Brett, where can everyone find you?
Hang on, I'm going to Google Collection Tim Butt.
Oh, Collection Tim Butt.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I'm curious. My butt's not on the internet. Not
at
yet.
This drink, I like it on Instagram. That's my personal page. There's a link tree with all my other stuff on there too. Tim's gonna do what's called End Babble, which is where he just talks nonsense for a few minutes.
Blah, blah.
Thank you guys again for being here. This has been episode number 274. Tim, your theme is fettuccine chia pet.
Kayla, okay.
Love you. Bye.
The growth on your toe extends far, extends, but recedes like your father's hairline. Going in and out the nail. It grows and sucks in. Oh. And you hear on the radio, they say, chia. And you're like, of course, that's the solution to my long toenail syndrome. And you go to the store and you buy a Scooby-Doo chia pet. And you throw Scooby-Doo to the ground. You don't need him. You need the seeds. You need the chia seeds. And you grab the seeds and pour them all over your toes and add some water. And you watch. And instead of your toenail growing and receding and growing and receding, it instead turns into fettuccine noodles. And that, my friends, is the origin of fettuccine noodles. They grow from toes. And so I'll leave you with this. If you're eating pasta and you don't know where it's from, check where it's from. Because you might be eating your own fettuccine toenail pasta. Thank you.
We're both recording, I think.
Oh, are we?
We are, yeah.
Hold on, let's see.
Sounds pretty good.
That's so loud. Dude, these things are so hard.
These are delicious.
These are like extra good. You know why? Because they're mini hearts. They're made with real blood.
Oh, so they are.
So they are.
I think I bit my tongue, so I'm going to be talking weird this whole episode.
Oh, good. Want me to bite mine, too?
Yeah, just to even it out.
Okay.
All right, let me play this back. I think we're good. Or wait, maybe my... Oh. Yeah, there we go.
Hey, Macarena.
Aye.
Aye.